August is like the Sunday night of summertime. You know that Sunday night feeling? Technically, the weekend is still going, but you already know in your bones that it's almost over, and you're trying desperately to hang on. That is how I feel about my favorite parts of summer in August. Long days, dreamy bike rides, and bursting fresh tomatoes. I don't want to let them go. So you can't actually hang on to summer, but if you want to savor the strawberries and peaches a little bit longer, that you can do, which is why we've invited a canning expert to kick off this Friday food show on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Tim Tuohy. He's part of the husband-wife team behind the KC Canning Company. Tim Tuohy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. And I agree with you. Everyone keeps on saying to me that it's almost the end of summer, and I just don't want to accept it.
Nope. So I am guessing, though, that this is a busy time in your canning operation.
Oh, absolutely. Throughout the growing season, it's just kind of crazy. And we've been at the farmer's market. Whatever's fresh that day, we generally buy and turn around and put it in jars and bring it back to the market, sell it to some of our stores.
Any recent, like, flavor of the day creations that kind of took you by surprise?
We just recently made a Thai chili sauce. It's like a vinegar-based sauce that it's super spicy, but it's absolutely delicious. We've been getting into some okra. Pickled okra seems to be a big thing, and everybody loves their okra. And around this time, there's so much available locally, and you just got to get your hands on as much as possible.
What are your favorite ways of preserving the taste of a Kansas City summer?
Ooh, that's deep.
It isn't it?
And how? Yeah. So I'm not originally from Kansas City, so certain things aren't my birthright.
Are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey. That's why I talk like this. But, you think Kansas City, you think barbecue. However, I can't touch barbecue because it's not my birthright. So my focus in preserving the Kansas City summer is to stay as true to the ingredient as is possible and to make it shine. We've been getting a lot of lovely melons and cucumbers in. So really whatever I can do with those in order to preserve the fruit itself, that's what I'll focus on doing.
You do pickles, preserves, and shrubs. Can you quickly define those things?
Absolutely. A pickle is a preserved fruit or vegetable. Preserves, jams, jellies is a fruit or vegetable that's mashed or juiced and then thickened to preserve it.
And thickened how?
So we use pectin. We use an all-natural pectin that does not necessitate a high sugar content. It's a universal pectin, and it works perfectly every time. And being that it's all natural, I don't have to worry about adding any extra preservatives.
Cool.
The shrubs is a colonial era way to preserve fruit juice. Is how they preserve fruit juice through the winter prior to refrigeration. And then the hipsters got their hands on it, started making cocktails, and we jumped right on that train as it was rolling out the station. But our shrubs, they're acidified. So we're adding vinegar, we're adding sugar, a little bit of salt, and it's a quick, easy way to make a cocktail at home.
How did you get interested in preserving fruits and veggies to begin with?
Well, okay, so first, I was a restaurant chef for years. I was a restaurant chef for long enough to know that I didn't want to be a restaurant chef forever.
Why not?
The hours, the time on your feet, it doesn't lend itself to a healthy social life and life outside the restaurant. I loved it. I loved the being creative on a daily basis and coming up with new dishes, so on and so forth, but it was a slog. And then we wanted to be autonomous. We wanted to be able to do our own thing. And myself and my wife both grew up putting stuff in jars and preserving it. Myself in New Jersey and her here in Kansas. And we decided to launch the canning company.
Is it true that you gave something out as a wedding favor that kind of like kicked off the whole thing?
We did. So I was making and I'm still making, it's still one of our products on our product line. It's a clementine and thyme marmalade. And for our wedding, we used it first for the signature cocktail. It was similar to an old fashioned, and it was deadly. So a couple people had way too many, thinking that it was a low alcohol content, and they were a lot of fun at the end of the night. And we also gave a small jar to all of our guests as favors. And people kind of took to it. By that time, we had already decided we were going to do it, but it really solidified the fact that we can make a go of putting stuff in jars professionally.
Yeah, people liked it.
Yes.
When I personally, like when I picture a husband-wife canning team, I envision like a really sweet, homey kitchen scene where people are stirring bubbling liquids on the stove with big wooden spoons and aprons on, like ruffly aprons maybe even. Is that what it's like?
I mean, I'll admit I do have a ruffly apron.
Good.
That I like to use myself, but no, that's not what it's like. So generally speaking, my wife has an adult job still, and over the past few years with the baby arriving and everything else,
congratulations.
Thank you. She's lovely, but I've taken over the vast majority of the day to day. In the beginning, though, our creative process was fun. We would start with a product that was available, say strawberries, and then we would basically yell at one another, not like in an angry way, more like we're in two different parts of the house and we come up with an idea that we need to share immediately. And so we'd say strawberries and basil, or strawberries and mint. And that's kind of how we came up with some of our first products.
So you guys are in the East Bottoms, and I'm curious about the food scene down there, just what it's like day in and day out.
First and foremost, I love the East Bottoms. It is the land that time forgot, the wild, wild west. Now you got the local pig that's there for a little while longer, at least, the Rieger Distillery. And then you have the Kansas City Food Hub and a couple other producers who are down there. Not necessarily selling down there, but certainly producing down there. It's kind of a really quiet underground food scene that pops its head up throughout the entire city. And it's a very interesting little corner of Kansas City.
Tell me more about that. You said it's the land that time forgot.
I mean, I was reading an article, and this is going back, but there's only like 1,000 people who actually live down there. Everyone knows one another, because you see everybody every single day. It's a bit of a food desert if you actually want to buy anything. And it's very industrial. There's a whole lot of traffic, mostly trucks. It's at that exchange where you have access to 4 different highways. And because of that, and because there's no real public transportation that goes directly down there, it's like a little window into a world that doesn't exist anymore.
When you talk about it being a food desert, that is an interesting thing you're talking about so much food being produced there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's one of those things that because so few people live down there, they have to travel out of that area in order to go to work, so on and so forth. And there's not a large enough market for someone to remedy the problem. But at the same time, there's enough people who live down there where something like that would be helpful.
Like a grocery store.
Or like one of the Rolling Grocers, something like that even. Yeah, absolutely.
The news that the local pig is moving out, that seems like it'll be a real change. But what's your take on that?
It could go either way. People go down there and the pig has been a destination, a specific destination. So, anyone who's going down to the East Bottoms is going down there. They're going to get their sandwich at the Pig Witch, or they're going to, buy their meat and then they leave. I don't actually think it'll change the neighborhood in any real significant way, unless somebody takes over that spot and does something really cool like Alex had done. And you still got the Rieger Distillery down there. And with the Kansas City, I think it's the Food Hub that's doing work down there. Then, you know, I feel like no one's going to forget about the East Bottoms.
So back to canning.
Mm-hmm.
What are your tips for getting started in case you've won someone over to the idea that canning is this fun, great way to preserve the taste of a season?
Work with fresh ingredients. That's the most important thing. And the fresher your produce that you're using, the better off you're going to be. And so there's a Portlandia skit that I'm thinking about, and you can pickle that. So whatever you have, whatever you can think of, and whatever excess or surplus you have from your own garden, or whatever, you know, might even be about to be going bad in your own refrigerator, there's ways and means to preserve that so you can eliminate food waste.
I once pickled watermelon rinds.
Sure.
And I was really surprised by the experience of it. It was like a sweet watermelon pickle.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, yeah, pretty surprised by the experience of eating the watermelon rind.
Sure. Early on, I had a weird idea. It's still weird. But we do a balsamic pickled grape, which from time to time somebody will grab thinking that it's an olive and be very surprised by what they find. And it was intended as a cocktail garnish, but it's a red or a black grape, and it has a whole lot of flavor, and you can pickle that.
The rest of our show this morning is about sandwiches. So what goes great on sandwiches? I hear you do a pickled green tomato.
This is probably, so what I say is I'm very, very happy with all of my products, but I'm proud of the green tomatoes. You know, the green tomato, it especially towards the end of the growing season when the tomatoes actually stop ripening, you know, people usually fry them because they're a little bitter. They don't have as much flavor as a ripe tomato, and they're tougher. They're a little bit harder. So you want to do a little bit, cook them a little bit at the very least. So I took the green tomatoes and I, knowing that they would stand up to the heat processing that we need to do in order to make them shelf stable, I did a kind of Italian spiced, inspired green tomato. So it's heavy. It's heavy on the fennel, red pepper flake, thyme, a lot of peppercorn, and it's
the Italian sausage of,
yeah,
pickles.
Now you're talking. I like that. I'm gonna steal that. And it, especially on a sandwich, it serves two purposes because you have your pickle and your tomato in one little bite right there. So you don't have to worry about the sandwich falling apart in your hands.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
What about vanilla bourbon peach preserves on a grilled cheese? That sounds amazing.
So I like to, my whole thing is, especially when I'm cooking in a restaurant or cooking at home, is to have as many taste profiles in any dish as possible. So I thoroughly enjoy mixing sweet and savory. But so what I'll do with the vanilla bourbon peach preserve, do it with some Swiss cheese, or you could even throw a little bit of stinky cheese in there, like a blue cheese or a Taleggio. And the sweetness of the vanilla and the it's a heavy bourbon flavor. Really goes nicely with the saltiness of the cheese, and it works every time.
I definitely think of peaches as a summer treat, and I really love the idea of combining them with all these warming flavors like bourbon and vanilla. It feels to me like you're kind of also translating peaches to another season.
And you know, one of the things when we're putting together new flavors with, especially with local ingredients, we kind of have to be a season ahead. Because right now, if I'm getting a bunch of fresh peaches in and I'm going to make, you know, 100 cases of peach preserves, then that's probably going to last me through the holidays. So, you know, down the line, the holidays, you might not necessarily want something that's going to be super sweet and not necessarily match the feeling of the time.
I also hear you are making a new mustard.
We are. We're working with KC Wine Works, or I guess KC Cider Works, and we're using their apple cider to It's basically a Dijon style, but instead of wine, I'm using their cider.
What is the difference that that makes in terms of taste?
It's a little bit sweeter up front. It still has the same bite. You know, it's mustard, but we do. We could leave some of the grains whole so that there's a little bit of a bite to it. And I think that it's balanced, and I like having that sweetness up front as opposed to some other mustards that might be a little more acidic.
What kind of sandwich do you put it on?
I mean, I would use it in any sort of type of pastrami or a Reuben. Basically, however else you would use mustard.
Well, Tim Tuohy, thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tim runs the KC Canning Company with his wife, Laura. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're about to talk sandwiches on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here to talk about sandwiches. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. We want to hear about the most original sandwich creations on KC menus, plus the best grilled cheese, BLT, chicken salad, whatever happens to be your thing. 816-235-2888. Charles Fruza, Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Charles, you have told me that Kansas City is a sandwich town, and you have a theory about why. It has to do with the stockyards in our history.
Right, right. Well, you know, this is completely my theory and nobody else's.
Conjecture.
Total conjecture.
Go on.
But my theory is that, you know, because Kansas City, because of the stockyards, really, Kansas City early on created this perception that it's a meat and potato town. And it is really a meat and potato town, except, you know, it's sandwich meat and French fries, as opposed to, you know, steak and potatoes. But,
or like a stew.
Or a stew, right. But no, Kansas City's a great sandwich town because in the stockyard days, those were really the glory days for inexpensive, moderate, arrayed sandwiches that you could get in a bar, because bars would have, you know, put out an array of sandwiches for their drinking crowd. And because the sandwiches were always slightly salty with cheese and lunch meat kind of the sort of the times. But cowboys could eat them with their hands and just wipe their hands on their jeans. You know, they were very easy that way.
So, according to you...
According to me and no one else.
The loose meat sandwich was like the cowboy's lunch. But what is a loose meat sandwich?
Loose meat sandwich, actually, they date back to right before World War II. And, you know, we call them and know them probably best as Sloppy Joes, mm-hmm. although I don't think they were ever really known in the Midwest as Sloppy Joes. I think that's a Florida tradition. But, what Sloppy Joes were and are ground beef, not made into patties, but, you know, kind of cooked in some kind of sauce, reduced down, served on a bun, usually with pickles, sometimes with cheese, and easy to eat, kind of easy to maneuver, and very, very soft. You could eat them without teeth. Not that I've done that yet, but, you know, that may be my future. I don't know.
But, Charles, where can you get one today?
Well, several places. I mean, Kansas City used to have quite a few loose meat chains that, Jenny, I think some of these chains actually also existed in your hometown, mm-hmm. which I believe is Tulsa?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right.
Didn't you have Made Rights?
Yes.
And did Tulsa have New Way? That was a Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't think we had New Way. I don't think we had New Way, but we had a couple of loose meat chains, and you can find them in the Ozarks still. I mean, there's a couple Made Rights still hanging out. If you're on your way to the Ozarks, stop in and get one.
If I see a Made Right, I will stop in.
Well, and they're a little different in that they don't have the tomato sauce. It's just mustard and onion
right.
and the loose meat kind of cooked together on a bun.
Right.
You're right. You can just teeth that.
Gum it down.
Teeth
right.
that sandwich right on down. Gum it down.
But my favorite loose meat sandwich in Kansas City is still Mugs Up.
Oh, yeah.
And then my real favorite, I mean, the draw for me about Mugs Up on 23rd Street in Independence is that they do still make their own root beer. Mm-hmm. And it tastes homemade. Mm-hmm. And it's still served in those hefty mugs, which I've stolen at least
I
one.
I love root beer.
And it is delicious root beer. But their loose meat sandwich is called the Whiz Burger. Hmm. And it's not a burger. It's a loose meat sandwich.
Please tell me it has Cheese Whiz on it.
I think it does. Oh, yeah, I think it's the Whiz Burger without cheese is the Whiz Burger. Wait a minute.
The Whiz is the cheese, I would think.
Yeah,
I would
no, the Whiz is the cheese.
Go ahead and put some Whiz.
We digress.
I'm getting so confused. But,
I'm so excited about Whiz.
But they're delicious, and they're a little bit bigger than a White Castle, but smaller than a traditional hamburger.
That's right.
And there definitely is a tomato sauce that binds the loose meat.
Mm-hmm. So you can get the Kansas City loose meat sandwich at Mugs Up. And Kansas City also, you're telling me, has a history with the fried fish sandwich.
Right. They're, you know, catfish mostly. Right. In the early days. But, you know, if you go to places like, and Jenny and I were talking about this earlier, like places like Lutfi's mm-hmm. or Niecy's mm-hmm. has a delicious fried whiting sandwich. And which actually, you know, that's a sandwich that actually dates back to the earliest barbecue days. But it's, you know, it's usually breaded in cornmeal, deep fried, very crunchy, and can be served with, you know, a variety of things. I like mine with lettuce and tomato.
So you're saying that the one at Niecy's, that they make it fresh.
They do. It's a very fresh tasting sandwich too. And you know, you can't go wrong with a good old fashioned fried fish sandwich.
Well, so okay, now let's talk about the sandwiches that are gaining popularity in Kansas City right now, or at least should be. Jenny and Mary, you are both drawing our attention to a place called The Bite in the City Market. Mary, kick this off.
So The Bite, the chef Carlos there is doing some really fun, unique, creative sandwiches. And they have a Korean, Asian bent to them, but he mixes it up. He's got a bunch of them. Go to the website. You can check out the menu. My favorite are the Senor Chang, which are beef short ribs with sriracha cream, candied jalapenos, queso fresco, radish, cilantro, made right on the spot, soft, wonderful bun. And the Boss Hog, which is roasted pork, Korean barbecue sauce, those same candied jalapenos, which I'm partial to, and a sesame slaw. And the combination of flavors just explodes in your mouth. It's a great shop.
Jenny, what do you want to tell us about The Bite?
Well, the thing about The Bite is that for the most part, it is a place that has kind of a Mexican flavor to it. I mean, Carlos himself, obviously, is Hispanic. And so it's one of those where you can get pozole, delicious hot bowls of pozole soup. And then he also has these sandwiches that are much like the Koji barbecue truck in L.A. is kind of a combination of Korean and Mexican kind of meeting. Don't call it fusion. You'll get him really upset. But he is doing some really
creative... Can you tell me more about what upsets him about that?
I just don't think that he really sees what he's doing as fusion. And fusion's kind of a dirty word right now. Not a lot of chefs like to have their food called fusion. It's not really very complimentary.
Well, it implies nuclear fission.
Well, yeah. It's not complimentary to either nationality that they're trying to bring together. You know, he really just sees this as being kind of what he's interested in and who he is, I think. So it's just what he does. But the sandwiches are really creative. They're super flavorful. I mean, really, really flavorful. And I like the same sandwiches as Mary. In fact, we both had the same ones. But I also want to mention, since we talked about Sloppy Joe's, I think it's called the Sloppy Mo. Sorry, Carlos, if I get the name wrong. But it is made with tofu. And it's a crumbled tofu that resembles, obviously, ground beef. So for our vegetarian and vegan friends out there, I'm telling you, on a cold day, get in there, get the Sloppy Mo. Winter is coming. I mean, this will be the perfect sandwich for then.
So you are both also recommending lobster rolls, which really surprises me. This is definitely not a Kansas City tradition.
It's so true. And, you know, you're going to pay for it because they are bringing them in, and it's a lot of work to cook up a lobster and then take the meat out of the shell. But I love Linda Doerr's lobster roll at the restaurant at 1900. As I said, it's not cheap and it's not huge, but you're paying for top-notch ingredients, including a homemade brioche roll. Mm. And it's just a really nice lobster roll.
Jenny, what is the lobster roll you are recommending?
I have two, kind of cheap and cheerful, a little bit less expensive probably than the restaurant at 1900, but it's at basically Jack Sailor Jack's snack shack, I think is right, in Westport. I really like that place, I have to tell you. It's a relatively new place, but they have the two different kinds of lobster rolls on their menu, the mayo-based as well as a brown butter-based. So you can kind of have your lobster roll either way. It's on a delicious, fresh brioche roll and made very traditionally. And then also the Pearl Tavern out in Lee Summit, the guys who own Summit Grill just opened up that place out there, and they have a lobster roll on their menu that is phenomenal. Very, very tasty. And they're both around $20, which I think is really, really reasonable. And they're packed with fresh, lovely, sweet lobster meat. So
call 816-235-2888 to talk about your favorite sandwiches on Kansas City menus or to tell us about a kind of sandwich that you are constantly searching for. 816-235-2888. Let's talk to Desiree in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Desiree.
Hey.
What do you like?
I really like the Broadway Deli on the corner of the Stoplet Boulevard and Broadway. They have a sandwich called the Tom Watson. It's awesome.
Tell us about it. What is that what's on the sandwich, and what do you like about it?
The sandwich is pastrami, bacon, turkey, coleslaw. It's got Swiss, and it's on rye, the Thousand Island.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you. So that's the Tom Watson at Broadway Deli. Desiree, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
And, okay, so now seems like kind of a good time, I guess, to talk about the whole deli scene. There is a new deli in town, the Broadway Deli. Has anyone been there?
I am going this evening for an event, and I'm excited to try it.
Is that where Pezzatino's used to be?
Yes, exactly.
It's got a lot of buzz, but Charles, you moved here from Indianapolis, and when you first got here, you've told me that the deli scene underwhelmed you.
It made me cry. It was so Spartan and terrible, but although I have a huge, now that, especially now that it's gone, I have a huge fondness and nostalgia for the New York bakery and delicatessen.
Absolutely.
Because it was not my idea of an ideal delicatessen, but I just always loved the fact that it was there.
Absolutely.
You know, in its
that's kind of the way I feel about Speak.
Yeah.
It was a great deli for the short time it was open.
R.I.P. Speak. We love you.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kansas City seems to kind of struggle with the deli thing, but what would it surprise you if I told you that the Reuben is actually a Midwestern sandwich?
I think it's from Omaha, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is, by the way, an apocryphal story that because I've done a lot of research on Reubens. I mean, there is a very large contingent of people who will tell you that the Reuben sandwich was invented at Reuben's restaurant in New York City. Mm-hmm. There's just as many people who will tell you that it's from a restaurant in Omaha, Nebraska.
So I read this article in Savoir magazine, and I'm kind of obsessed with it, so I apologize in advance. But this was written by the granddaughter of the guy who supposedly invented the sandwich in Omaha.
Okay.
And she got into this sort of like long, she wrote an original article that was just really short. And that inspired this whole debate between her and some reader in New York that went on for, I think, years, their debate. So she writes about that in this article. But the story is basically that her grandfather ran a hotel where he and his buddies used to play poker.
Right.
And late one night, the grandpa's friend was like, "I'm hungry." So
whip me something up.
Yeah.
That's sort of a variation on the infamous Anchor Bar chicken wing story.
Well, isn't that the whole Earl of Sandwich story? They were all playing cards or whatever.
There's many variations to this story. I say that the Reuben story could well be true. I mean, it's hard to imagine a sandwich as delicious as that. Popping out of the Midwest, but, greater things have.
She argues that it is a uniquely Midwestern Jewish creation because it is a sandwich so assimilated that it isn't even kosher.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. You've got meat and cheese. It doesn't work.
Right.
So, Mary, you are actually recommending a Reuben in town.
I am. I have always enjoyed the Reuben at Cafe Europa in Crestwood.
It's delicious.
They have, and I don't like really thinly sliced corned beef. I like it thick slice so that it kind of crumbles too. It's thick enough that it can crumble. And this is the right cheese to meat to sauerkraut ratio. It's grilled to perfection, and they serve it with those great French fries.
Can I ask you, Mary, what is your belief about one of my big arguments against the Reuben sandwich at the late lamented New York delicatessen was that they never grilled their Reuben.
Yeah.
I believe a Reuben has to be grilled. What do you think?
I totally agree with you.
But you know what? I grew up on the Reuben you're talking about. I love the grilled Reuben, but there is, if you don't have some previous frame of reference, that was a delightful sandwich. And it was also giant.
It was giant.
Well, if you don't cook it at all, that's one thing. But to toast the bread, that just doesn't cut it.
Let's talk to Dan in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
What do you want to ask or recommend?
Okay, I can't find a good tuna melt in town to save my life. I have to make them at home. So I need to know everybody's take on the best tuna melt in town.
Okay, before we answer this question, you make them at home in the way that you like, I'm guessing?
Yes.
What distinguishes the way you make a tuna melt from what you find in Kansas City restaurants?
I butter the bread with mayonnaise, not butter, to toast it. And I toast both sides of it.
Okay. That seems like it would be easy enough to achieve. Is this kind of a universal thing with people and tuna melts?
You know, they any grilled cheese, they say you should spread the outside with mayonnaise before you.
That's a great secret.
On grilled cheese?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So weird.
It makes a huge difference in the caramelization of the bread and the toasting.
Can I also say
you heard it here.
the best grilled cheese sandwiches I've ever had in my life are always on rye bread. A grilled cheese really almost, because it is so bland, it almost demands good rye bread.
Okay, we're going to get back to that, but I do not want to lose track of Dan's question about a tuna melt. So, where do you find the best tuna melt in Kansas City?
Okay, so the
we're looking to Jenny on this.
Let's just start by saying the tuna melt really is something that probably should be made at home. I mean, restaurateurs do not consider the tuna melt some sort of high hot cuisine to be made in a restaurant. So, you know, although I think it is something from our past, it is certainly a sandwich that has been around a long time. I don't think you'll find an awful lot of restaurateurs willing to do tuna melt sandwiches because, you know, you see a lot of tuna fish on the menu, but not a lot of tuna melts. If I were to go looking for a tuna melt in Kansas City, and I don't know that it would meet your exacting standards, considering now that we know that you do know to put mayonnaise on your bread to grill it, I would suggest like a diner, you know, maybe a Town Topic, or Charles, you probably have a couple diners up your sleeve that might even have it on them. Anything that serves, any place that serves tuna fish that you like could more than likely make you a tuna melt.
But I'm that weird person who I love chicken salad.
Broadway Deli has one.
Yeah. I don't like tuna salad.
Yeah.
You know, my little Protestant mother was always, you never order tuna salad in a restaurant because it goes bad.
Well, you can make it at home.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So, all right. Anyway, so
it's a noble cause, but I'm not
sure. Search, Dan, should begin in a diner.
Yeah.
Jenny is recommending. Mm-hmm. So, Charles, get back to this grilled cheese thing to me. Where do you get a grilled cheese on rye?
Winstead's, which, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Doesn't Winstead's offer a tuna melt?
Ooh.
Oh, I
think
bet
it
they
does.
Do.
Might.
Yeah. And I think the last time I had one was at Winstead's. Someone will call in and tell us. But I do.
My producer tells me yes.
Okay. Ah. I do order frequently. It's my, you know, my late night go-to meal. A delicious grilled cheese with American cheese. Grilled cheese on rye at Winstead's.
It's the patty melt without the hamburger.
Right.
Very much.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to talk to another caller now. We're going to talk to Mary Beth in Gladstone. Mary Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to tell about a small place in, I live in Gladstone, so I'm not sure if it's Gladstone or North Kansas City. It's called Mud Bugs.
Mud Bugs?
Mm-hmm. Mud, like, you know, wet dirt.
Okay. Mud bugs.
Like crawdads.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
What?
And they put little crawdads on every one of their fish sandwiches, just a little sprinkling of them. They're one of my favorite sandwiches. They have shrimp with the little crawdads and then a coleslaw and a polenta spread.
Coleslaw and polenta. This sounds okay. First of all, like a.
It's kind of an aioli. Coleslaw.
Well, Mary Beth, this sounds really super interesting.
And exotic in a weird, I mean, very exotic for Kansas City.
I have heard a lot of good things about mud bugs and their sandwiches.
Are mud bugs crawdads?
I have no idea, but I was referring to the name of the restaurant.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. What? So you've heard a lot about these sandwiches
already?
Just
on social media, people really enjoying them. A lot of fish and Creole type sandwiches.
And Mary Beth's recommendation does bring up that the condiment is often the real selling point of the sandwich. She's describing like the coleslaw and the aioli and all of that. I mean, is there a sandwich that comes to mind as like a condiment really shines?
Oh, I think like a banh mi with like fresh herbs, basil and cilantro and pickled onions maybe. And
that is that's a good choice. But that's a condiment heavy sandwich.
Yeah.
And all those condiments are so delicious together.
Yeah.
So Mary and Jenny, you are both recommending banh mis. And this is something that used to primarily just be on Vietnamese restaurant menus. It's on all kinds of menus now. What are you recommending? Mm-hmm.
There's one at Tribe Street Kitchen, which is a relatively new restaurant in the River Market area at the end of the streetcar. And it's made with, and this is a traditional list of ingredients, a traditional pate, pork, cucumber, cilantro, basil, fish sauce, and pickled carrots. I like that they also add serrano. And all the ingredients are really, you know, fresh, made on site, and it's excellent. And then the other one I love is at Pigwich, and they do it with spicy pork meatballs, all of those other ingredients, but the spicy pork meatballs are just a little different and great.
I'll be so glad to see those guys in the River Market.
Yeah.
I think you need to stress, Mary, also that on those list of ingredients, they usually fresh pickles, I mean, fresh cucumber, not pickles.
Yes.
They're very cooling to the palate. Yeah.
Jenny, what are you recommending?
Banh Mi Fawn up in the Northland has a lovely banh mi, and it's very similar to Mary's. Toasted baguette, pate mixed with butter, which makes such a difference. Your choice of meat, I like grilled beef or Chinese barbecue pork, fresh cucumbers, jalapenos, cilantro, pickled radish, carrots. Yum.
I'm Gina Kaufman here with Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, and Charles Ferruza. We're talking about sandwiches, and we have a lot of calls. I want to go to Nick. He's calling us from Kansas. Nick, good morning.
Morning.
What do you want to recommend?
Well, there's a place in Lawrence called Terrebonne Cafe, and on Mondays they have a fried chicken po' boy, and it is really good.
What do you like about it?
Well, the fried chicken is like fried chicken that your grandma might make or something.
Nick, I'm so sorry. Our sound is not great, so I'm going to go ahead and we've lost Nick, but we've got a call from Rochelle in Roland Park who is responding to our question about a good tuna melt. Rochelle, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Great show. We go to, my boyfriend and I go to the Westport Flea Market all the time, and I tend to get the burgers, but he gets the tuna melt there all the time, and it's fabulous.
At the Westport Flea Market.
At the Westport Flea Market, not necessarily a diner, but they have a great tuna sandwich.
Who knew? That's the best kept secret. Who knew?
All right, so you heard it here. The Westport Flea Market is where you go if you don't want to make your tuna melt at home. We're getting some calls from people who are letting us know that they have Made Right in Lexington, Missouri.
Right.
There's
a new way also in Leavenworth. That's an old name in loose meat land.
Cool. Well, so
day trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Okay, you
guys,
we're going to go back to our calls in just a second, but I do want to talk about some classics. Jenny, you've got a favorite turkey sandwich. I'd consider that a classic sandwich.
Yeah, you know, turkey meat is one of those things that I think was made popular probably by the club sandwich, you know, in terms of just seeing it more and more on menus. The Golden Ox is now open down in the West Bottoms, and with it is the new Golden Ox Cafe and Bakery, a little lunchy, breakfasty, brunchy spot. It's basically on the inside of the Livestock Exchange building, and they have a smoked turkey sandwich on their menu that I love. It has Havarti cheese, ginger peach compote, which to me is just the secret key to this whole sandwich, red onions, arugula, and basil. And you can get it with a wide variety of sides. It comes with either chips, pasta salad, soup, french fries, green salad. Cute little place, a nice little add-on business for them that it's the same group that owns, obviously, the Golden Ox and Voltaire across the street. And I just love this sandwich. Like, I'm enamored with it right now. I think it has to do with the compote, but there's something about that sandwich I love.
So where do you get it again?
It's at the Ox Cafe and Bakery down in the West Bottoms inside the Livestock Exchange building.
Okay, so now, Mary, you've got a BLT on your list.
I have several. This is the time of year. You've got to hit them up while the heirloom tomatoes
while
are
the
out.
Tomatoes are good.
Yeah, Happy Gillis has a great one, you know, basic, but farm to fresh market. I think they use grains galore, which I love. Heirloom tomatoes, lettuce, blue stem bar, same thing. Westside Locals is a little bit different, talking about some of those extra condiments that make it. It has sriracha bacon, smoked tomato jam, fresh tomatoes, chili, garlic, aioli, butter, lettuce, and that same grains galore.
Yum. Mm. Okay, let's talk to Ben in Overland Park. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you guys for doing this. Sandwiches are my favorite food, and so this is right in my wheelhouse. I'm calling with a recommendation and a question for you guys. And first, the recommendation is Bella Napoli in Brookside. They run a deli during the day. It becomes an Italian restaurant at night. But during the day, my wife loves the porchetta sandwich. I get the number one, which is all kinds of Italian meats, fresh veggies, jardinera, olive oil, balsamic. It's one of my favorite sandwiches in the city. And then my question for you guys was, for people who like to make sandwiches at home, and I'm picturing sort of sub bread, where are good places to get, and not necessarily sub, but sliced bread, but the best bread to make home sandwiches?
So breads for sandwich making.
Any Whole favorites? Foods is making their own brioche rolls, which I would say would be a good choice. You could also call Bay Boy Sandwich Shop.
I love those
guys. And they
make
Dutch Crunch rolls. And you could order a...
What is a Dutch Crunch roll?
It's a special kind of roll. They're soft, but they're the top looks all crackly, and it crunches. The top crunches, but it's soft when you bite into it. And their sandwiches are great.
I would also recommend Ibis Bakery or Favar on the west side. Bakery on the west side. They own both of them. Ordering your bread fresh makes a big difference, obviously, and both those guys do it. Of course, farm to market, you can find them in your local grocery store.
And just take the whole loaf and slice it down the middle and make a sandwich that way.
So right. You guys, we have a couple of tweets that I want to share. We are hearing from Holly in Mission, Kansas, that DeBronx has a good eggplant parmesan sandwich. And then we're also hearing from Emily on Twitter, who is, we're getting a question about a good patty melt, and we're getting, coincidentally, an answer to that question from Emily, who says that the patty melt at Michael Forbes is a 100. Anyone else have a good patty melt?
It's a good patty melt. Oh gosh. You know, the best patty melts I've ever had, I discovered this when I stopped drinking, are usually at bars, you know, when food became more important to
I
you.
I prefer a patty melt to a burger if I'm going out, honestly.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, the one at Town Topic that's on rye bread is just one of my favorites.
It's a
so,
classic.
It's so simple.
Yeah. If you want one that's a little more upscale, BRGR has one.
Let's talk to David in Kansas City, who also wants to talk patty melts. David?
Hey, good morning. I wanted to hear recommendations, and I thank you for the ones you just gave. So I will do a plug for a little bit of an unusual twist on the patty melt, and that is the Friday special at Pigwitch, which is a meatloaf patty melt that's got beef and bacon into the meat. It's on marble rye with mushrooms and fried onions and cheddar cheese. It's an enormous thing, and it's fabulous.
Cool.
Sounds delicious.
That does sound good. Thanks, David.
You bet.
And now, Victor in Kansas City wants to know where to get a muffalata.
Well, Bella Napoli would be
one.
Yeah,
Bella Napoli's a good one.
I'm trying to think. Does Marco Polo, offer one.
Yes, that would be another good one.
Near Jasper's.
Mm-hmm. On occasion, you could get them at Broadway Butcher Shop when they have specials.
Mm-hmm.
Can I throw something out? It's so obscure that if I don't, it's traditionally known as a burger joint, but the best breakfast sandwiches you can find in Kansas City, and I'm not saying this lightly, are the old Harold's Drive-In on Admiral downtown.
Yep.
It's a drive-in in the sense that you drive up, you get out of your car, you order inside, you take your bag, and you leave. You know, which is what drive-ins used to be. And they have, I think, maybe 5 or 6 different kinds of breakfast sandwiches, all very inexpensive, wrapped in wax paper, and delicious.
Cool. Let's talk to Sean, who's wanting to get in on our Reuben conversation. Sean in Overland Park, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to recommend?
Well, my wife took me to the farmhouse down by the river market, and I had to try their Reuben. That's my go-to whenever I go to a new restaurant. And I will tell you, I was in shock. It was the best Reuben sandwich I've ever had in my life.
At the farmhouse?
At the farmhouse, 3rd and Delaware.
Was it grilled or was it warm?
Yes.
It was grilled.
It was grilled, but it was everything was so fresh. And the taste just, you know, I never tasted something so exotic in a Reuben sandwich in my life.
Sean, I don't mean to draw attention, but your voice tells me that you're from somewhere other than Kansas City and that perhaps somewhere with a lot of Reuben sandwiches.
Well, I've lived in Kansas City most of my adult life. I'm from New York. And believe me, I've eaten my fair share of corned beef and Reubens all over that city. And the farmhouses is as good as better than any of them that side of the Hudson River.
That's quite a recommendation.
Yeah. That is a real recommendation. Well, thank you, Sean. And now let's talk to Buzz in Brookside. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, sort of double dipping here, but I think on the BLT and the tuna melt, the peanut has excellent versions of both.
Ah,
that's true.
That's a good one.
And their BLTs I've always thought was sort of ranked near the top around town. And I think Winstead actually has a tuna sandwich without the cheese, but I could be wrong. but I'm sort of a tuna salad freak a little bit.
Tuna salad freak.
And my third recommendation... Yeah, and actually the Subway of all strange places has a darn good tuna salad sandwich because you can really load it up and you can get double meat so you get twice as much and just layer it with every vegetable known to man. So I became a sort of a recent convert to them if I'm in a hurry. But the peanut's really hard to beat.
So the peanut for both BLTs and tuna melts. And as long as we're on the topic of things we have discussed that people want to chime in on, lots of callers telling us that if you're making sandwiches at home, you should get the brioche at Aldi.
It's delicious.
We are also hearing that they have a muffalata sandwich at the Ship in the West Bottoms.
Oh, I bet it's good, too.
Oh, yeah.
So before we go, Charles, along the lines of tuna salad, chicken salad.
I love chicken salad. My two favorite chicken salads are both to be found at Cosentino's Price Chopper in Brookside and Cosentino's Market in Brookside. They make both the traditional... chicken salad with, you know, not too heavy on the mayonnaise and lots of celery. There should be some crunch. They also make a vinegar dressed chicken salad with red grapes that's delicious.
Well, we are on our way out, but those are some good recommendations for another popular sandwich, the chicken salad sandwich. Our time is up. KCUR's official list of the best sandwiches in Kansas City for 2018 will be online at kcur.org later today. Charles writes for In Kansas City Magazine. Charles Ferruza, this has been fun.
Thank you.
And Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Block, blogging about food at Around the Block, thanks so much for your recommendations.
Thank you.
That's a wrap. You can listen back to any of our shows at kcur.org/Central Standard. Yesterday, we talked about a growing trend of women and girls in baseball, including an interview with the Olathe native who's headed to the Women's Baseball World Cup. kcur.org/Central Standard. You can talk to us on Twitter anytime. We are at @KCURCST. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Kathleen Pointer, Suzanne Hogan, Coy Duggar. Our senior producer is Sylvia Maria Gross. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great sandwich kind of weekend, and stick around for Up to Date.